May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 938. When thou, my righteous judge, shalt come to take thy ransomed people home, shall I among them stand? Shall such a worthless worm as I, who sometimes am afraid to die, be found at thy right hand? Hymn 938.
Thank you. Let us read together from the second epistle of Paul to Timothy. Read from chapters 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of his life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, Yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboureth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. The dear man is writing to his son Timothy in the faith, wherein he says, I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings. For they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house are not only vessels of gold and of silver, also of wood and of earth, some to honour and some to dishonour. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. The Lord bless his word. Amen. Lord, do help us to gather in thy house once more. We seek to sanctify it with prayer. Lord, we seek thy mercy upon us. Pray that thou hear the cries lifted up. And now there are fresh needs, Lord. We come before holy God, and we are much in need of thy mercy. May, Lord, that thou not leave us without it. Or may it come over all our sin and guilt and unworthiness, or may it come. May we know something of the mercy of God, which becomes so sweet and precious to poor sinners. Lord, we ask that thou also come and be in the midst. That will be our mercy by thy Spirit. Lord, do come with us and dwell here, and especially in our hearts. We do seek, Lord, that thou guide us into all truth. Help us to plead that worthy name. Lord, we feel to be so poor, and then we feel to be unworthy to take that name, and we have our eyes and hearts open. Lord, what sin belongs to us? What transgressions we can remember, especially in years past? Oh, we need again and again that precious cleansing fountain, thy precious blood, and that righteousness to be upon us. We do see that thou help us to come. And Lord, as we have only just heard of the loss of a friend, and we count one of those that we could walk with has been taken from this life at Haynes, and we pray for the family, Mr. Peter Green. We do seek, Lord, that thou remember us each and prepare us well. Leave us not unprepared. Leave us not to ourselves. We ask, Lord, that thou hear us now as we come seeking that enlargement and that help to believe. Lord, it's not that we have been without faith, but we want the renewing of it. We need thee, Lord, to enlarge and bless our hearts and souls may live by faith. Lord, and help us. Thank thee too for thy many mercies. Lord, we do desire, Lord, to come and plead thy sweet presence. We can ask nothing greater for poor sinners. Lord, we would ask it in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember each case, each need, each soul, each troubled heart, each one, Lord, that may be oppressed, and any, Lord, that may be tempted, cast down, and any that may be ready to go back. Lord, remember characters that keep looking but feel to be so much in want they can hardly look again. Lord, remember those younger ones too, and bless them. May there be a seed to serve thee. It is our great desire, Lord, there might be a breaking through the dark clouds, and maybe that application of thy word and that conviction unto repentance. But oh, that sweet faith in poor sinners that causes them to run in thy commandments. Lord, do grant the reality of it, the truth of it. Oh, that there may be that enlargement of faith and that sweet knowledge of Christ Jesus. And souls will run the way of thy commandments when thou dost enlarge their hearts. We pray for the young, the little ones. Seek thy blessing upon them and keep them. Remember our brother away. We pray that thou wilt hear us, Lord, for each one. And the deacons hear, and do grant also that thou wilt bless the church. May there be, Lord, much increase, and do grant us our heart's desire that maybe the cause is round about, that sweet springing up, the blade, the ear, and the full corn in the ear. Lord, do help us to thank thee in our thankfulness, how we need thee. Oh, Lord, we would bless thee. We would, with a thankful heart, take thy name in thankfulness. We are yet on praying ground, and we have much to bless thee for. Lord, we do seek for our poor land thy appearing, the return of the Lord Most High. Sanctify all things, and do remember us in our very low estate. And do hear prayer, Lord, for the nations of the earth. And we seek thy kingdom may come. And we pray now, Lord, that there may be that inward witness, that sweetness of Jesus' name right to our hearts. Sweet the name of Jesus sounds. Lord, we do pray for that gracious help to know something above the things of this world that cannot afford the least benefit at all. We're persuaded of it. And we pray that thou help us, Lord, to know the comfort of the Holy Ghost and thy blessing upon us. And Lord, remember any that are exercised before thee. Help us, Lord, to plead in this service there may be the sound of the gospel with no uncertain sound. Also there may be much sweet knowledge of Christ within the doors as we sometimes see. Maybe, Lord, much sweet encouragement, hear us. Remember us, Lord, thou knowest our heart's desire. May Christ be sweetly set in the midst of our hearts and in thy house. May there be a savour of life unto life. Do remember us, Lord, in every burden and care. Do remember us, Lord, for good, with those tokens for good. So we ask, Lord, that thou hear us in heaven. Remember us, Lord, and leave us not. May there be a sweet knowledge of thy presence. We ask it. Jesus' name alone, for his sake we would plead. Amen.
Hymn 906. Oh, where shall I find a guide to direct, right skillful and kind, and brave to protect? To lovely Mount Zion my heart is now bound, but many a lion is in the way found. Hymn 906.
Thank you.
by the help of God, I'll direct you to the second epistle of Paul to Timothy. From chapter 1, we read from verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I know whom I have believed, and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We knew nothing of the great loss, the cause at Haynes, until we were in the vestry. The words seemed to come upon my mind that here are those things that belong to leaving this world. As the dear man of God speaks to his son Timothy in the faith, he commits unto his son Timothy those things of the gospel. He speaks of what the Lord has been pleased to do in his heart and life, and now he graciously commends him to the preaching. He says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. He was no stranger to it. Friends, it is what the Lord had written in his heart too. It is what the Lord had caused the dear man to know, and these things were continued. That's a mercy, isn't it? When the truth of God is continued in the preaching of the gospel, something we very much need. And the Lord speaks in his word here concerning characters like Timothy. Those that like him are brought to hear and seek to follow on, but feel perhaps so unlike the people of God. He says, thou therefore, my son. Perhaps he could see. He says, be strong, Timothy, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, he says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now the words have come on my mind in a very strange way. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, he says. I know whom I have believed, and persuade that he is able to keep that. My mind went without really any forethought at all to the account of in Judges chapter 12, those dreadful Ephraimites. They always were a cause of trouble. Pride and sorrow attended their step. In the 12th chapter of Judges, we read they gathered against the man of God, Jephthah. And so it was that there was a time when, you may remember, the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan and so on for the Ephraimites. And they were in a strait. And we said to the Ephraimites, say now Shiboleth, Shiboleth. He said, Shiboleth. We could not frame to pronounce it right. The account in the 12th chapter of Judges. Then they took him and slew him, and so on. Those solemn account. Now what has remained in my mind with the text is this. You know, friends, we do need something that God will own in our hearts. We do need something that God may give us that distinguishes us from unbelievers. We have enough unbelief, but it's those things that belong to the Lord and his people. He sets them apart. And there's the language of Zion. I don't know why it came on my mind so, with regard to our text. I know in whom I have believed. Persuade that he is able to keep that. I've committed unto him against that day. That day could be spoken rightly of the time when we will be summoned before our God. And there'll be no excuse. What things can we say aright, friend? Before the Lord. In our poor, sin-forfeited lives. There are a few things. By God's grace we can say very firmly, as those dear saints of old that we may read of, set down well like the apostle. I know whom I have believed. But you can remember a few characters, we certainly can, with much loving memory. Those that could speak so much in such a way and yet so humbly. And that's the ring about it, isn't it? Not just words. But it's, as we have just noticed in that account, those that can pronounce it right. Think of those when God touches their hearts, when they learn a few things. They have to revoke their approaches and seek for his mercy. God be merciful to me, a sinner, is a well-favoured part with those that are called by God's grace. Every time they may hear it, they say, ah, there's something new in that. That great God. And how he pronounced that rightly, didn't he? God be merciful to me, a sinner. I wonder if we keep coming before the Lord in some way and see something fresh. And God's sweet word, the approach, the humble approach, the need of Christ. But his mercy, where is it in Christ, but in Christ Jesus? And then in another sense, are those places where we may have to seek to follow the Lord's commandments? We think of the word, how the apostle spoke. He said, nevertheless, after all these years, these things, I'm not ashamed. I'm not put to shame. His God was with him. Oh, I believe the dear son Timothy's dear son Timothy in the faith, he loved to hear, I think, those things that he was able to speak about. And really, they were conveyed to his young heart, weren't they? Oh, that there might be more of that. I think it's been said how some hearts, I think it was in Popham's time, didn't seem to catch no heavenly fire. How we need it today. It's real things, isn't it? Not just an intellectual setting forward, but very needful in instruction. But further yet we must go. And there's that particular matter that God puts in the heart, and that's reverence. To God, friends, I feel to need it. But not an elaborate way about it. It's perhaps in a few words. Lowliness of heart. Chastened spirit, perhaps. As I came along, my poor heart was, didn't tell my dear one, but my heart was full of grief because many, many years ago, before we were married, I've had to mourn over a bad spirit, this blade to one that was taken to glory for my right hand. I don't know whether I'm allowed to say this, friends. When she was on her deathbed in the hospital, just bear with me, I asked her forgiveness. I had to. It's something I must pass with. My heart was, after all those years, was full of grief and trouble over my sin and shame. Really, we need to be like that with regard to our poor lives. How far short we come. And when we are able to speak about those things, it's those things that belong to the Lord's people. They know what it is to mourn inwardly. Have their sins brought before them again and again. Although pardoned, forgiven, we do trust. But is there not a remembrance? Perhaps there's a trouble to some this evening. What can I do? I'm so undone and defiled by sin that now my sins testify against me. Friends, what you need, what I need, what we all need is the gospel of God's grace deep in our hearts. That's a remedy. Really, it's in our text. The settlements of God with his people by his grace. So that, I think the hymn writer says, something secret sweetens all. Is it so with you? Something secret. The Lord's sweet mercy, his precious word, something that God has sent. And friends, what is the way I speak about it is it brings forth that cry, woe is me. It's the language of Zion. Oh, that I might have all my sins forgiven. Although released from sin and guilt, it's that sense, isn't it, of the need of Jesus. Those characters couldn't pronounce things right, could they? We don't want to be like that when we come down and the books are open. And they said, Lord, Lord, open to us. There's a solemn truth about it, friends. We need the Lord to teach us well. Our need of Christ and his sweet mercy. That's the way my mind was suddenly led this afternoon a little. It fixed my mind on the text. It seemed to follow on, you know. For the which cause, he says. Well, it's God's cause, isn't it? And that the cause of his mercy. Sweet theme. What greater cause? The cause of his sweet mercy towards his dear people. But he speaks here of the cause of God, cause of God and truth, the which cause. He wasn't left to hide behind the stuff, as we might speak. But friends, the Lord moved him. I've often thought of those words. Nothing moves him. Nothing moves me. And old friends, we do need the Lord to, I speak ever so carefully, the Lord to move poor sinners by his love. They'd be moved then. I don't know, perhaps there's something in the text that may be appointed of God to any that are exercised and concerned, deeply desiring to know the way they must go. We've sung of it in the hymn, haven't we? And their hearts are very diligent to seek the Lord, but they fear. It's in our text that they fear that it is not well with them. Their sins are many. And they're also well concerned that they may be exposed more to his judgments if they should speak to his glory, be careful. Just look for a moment at the way the Lord has set it in his word, with this dear character to his dear son in the faith. As if he gathers him up and says, "For the which cause, Timothy, I also suffer these things, many things. It had chained, didn't he? And so many things. He could look above it. He could look, friends, with the eye of faith. That looks well, doesn't it? The eye of faith. It said the eagle can look into the sun. The eye of faith, it looks right up. Oh, for that increase of that living faith. For which cause, the dear apostle says. And Timothy, his ears were open. Now he says, which cause I also suffer these things. They were appointed by my master. They were appointed by my God and your God, Timothy. For which cause I also suffer. It could be all these things. These things. And sometimes he looks upon them, but not all the time. Nevertheless, he says, Timothy, I can look above those things. And what a sweetness there is, the way the dear man was able to exhort his son Timothy in the faith. Those sweet truths in his God, especially to be able to speak of a dear Redeemer. For the which cause, above all things else, he says, I also suffer these things, nevertheless. Now, why does he say that, friends? Because he looks above those things, he counts them. I think we can say, as dung and dross, that he may win Christ. But that's real religion, how we feel to need it. Nevertheless. Our poor hearts get so troubled and cast down, especially with the great withholding of the Spirit. We often say, is it I? But friends, we need that eye of faith to look within the veil, like the apostle. Nevertheless, what a lot there is in just one word with all those syllables. Nevertheless, he not only looks at those things, but he exhorts his son Timothy in the faith to the strengthening of his heart. Nevertheless, really it's a sweet testimony. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. There's many ways to speak about it, but I want to notice especially, he's not ashamed in this to own that these things were with his God. They were those things that God had appointed. Or there may be things try our hearts so much, so much, and yet, friend, sometimes the Lord may teach us in them. May bring us to see that we have to speak faithfully and leave many issues with the Lord, but grace is needed. That's how it struck me. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, or not completely put to shame. He speaks to the encouragement of this dear character, Timothy. And really it's a part of the truth of the living God, isn't it? Oh, to catch a little breeze, as it were. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Now what about you and me? Friends, has God laid anything in our heart? we have to say, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause. I'm not ashamed especially to own this, that such were some of you, going the wrong way, full of this life, and because I haven't got a stone to throw about those that avidly follow the course of things, and when my heart was full of it, working things out on the Sabbath, and I'm much mixed up in those things. I hope God has delivered me out of it by the love of Christ, greater love. Nevertheless, it seems to speak of an intervention of God, the power of his grace. It is wisdom we've sung of. It seems to speak of those things which are with God that are hidden from us. Nevertheless, it seems to speak very sweetly of his will, his decree. Oh, that hard hearts might be softened. Oh, there might be those that can pronounce it right. God be merciful to me, a sinner. This is where Luther said, here I stand. Friends, those sweet testimonies, not to be ashamed of them. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. So much in those words, God wouldn't put him to shame. And remember, the dear man is approaching his last days. That's how it strikes me. The man was prepared. All those things were but those tokens that God would bring him through, and speaks of his faithfulness. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I wonder what these words may mean. Perhaps some trial or trouble, something that God may be pleased to allow to come. He causeth it to come. Can you say over and over, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed? Sometimes we do try and speak, all right. Usually when people meet me and I say, well, we have to have what God sends. They usually want to get on with their walk. Don't know what to say. But I want to hasten. Friends, is there that change of heart, direction? Can you see things differently? And you see, the Lord has not cut you off as you richly deserve. Mercy. He has not gone out against us. Some of us can look upon those things and wonder. He hasn't left us in ways of sin, but brought us to hope and trust in the Saviour's name and precious blood. Oh, those things that God works in the heart until we say nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. What a mercy if we can come in there. To God the Lord may guide me a little. Here is the antidote from belief. For the spirit of resistance to his will, that wretched, hard spirit, Ephraimites were terrible people, full of bad things. Oh, our hearts are like that, aren't they? We never can speak anything aright, but for God's grace. No other those things that God has let down. I want to speak ever so simply. He's let them down into some life. You can see things differently, feel things differently. Say, well, there's one thing I've had to learn, that my times are in his hand. Once it wasn't a thought at all, was it? Once it wasn't a matter to give you an exercise of heart at all, but now. Oh, those things God brings to the mind, the memory, his past dealings, his goodness, loving kindness. Oh, how great. Friends, the difference God makes in our hearts is all of grace, and it is all toward the Lord, isn't it? And to him that reigns and lives, he raises up his people out of the dust to praise his name or seek to know him more and more. I'm not ashamed. There's so many ways to look at it. God doesn't put his people to shame. Friends, they've got much to be ashamed about. But not in Christ. No. Not in God the Father. We would speak so reverently. Nothing to be ashamed of there. My God, my Father, blissful name. May I call thee mine. May I with sweet assurance claim a favour so divine. That's the language of Zion, isn't it? That's pronouncing it right, isn't it, if you follow my thought. Sweet lines in the hymn that they seem to glide in. Distilling as a Jew. Sweet word of his grace. Yea, I have loved thee. And that with an everlasting love. That would put the matter straight, won't it? Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee from where? From the ends of the earth, from the world that lieth in wickedness. And what about that spirit, friends, that thinks you can get right through to heaven by having one foot in the chapel and one foot in the world? Being content about it, saying, well, I've never been led this way or that way. I've never really been instructed by God. And I'll just go on. Really. Because it's not pronouncing it right, is it, before God? It's, Lord, magnify thy grace in me. Leave not my soul destitute. Leave not my soul so destitute it may fit some poor characters. It's this. Lord, may I be found among thy dear people. Whene'er that great trumpet shall sound. Thy right, I think we sung it sweetly, haven't we? Friends, it's to be where the Lord's people are. By grace, singing his worthy praises, or here below, knowing a few notes, taking down the harp from the willows, loud to the praise of Christ away. Some of you have got some of those times when you've had to take down your harp from the willows, loud to the praise of Christ away. Oh, how sweet is exalted. In broken hearts, isn't he? That there is things we have to speak of faithfully, friends. We cannot just go on and assume that things will be all right. That seems to be the laid-back spirit of so many. The Lord stir us up. We might speak the language of Zion and desire to in his hand. Lord, form me aright. Leave me not. Grant me grace to do, know and do thy will. There's things that we speak of so carefully and we take them to our own heart. That's deceitful, isn't it? Above all things. Let's go on and it suits the old flesh and satisfies the conscience. Not for long. What an awful place perdition is, where the worm dieth not. Oh, what terrible things are spoken of the lost and those that have come so close and yet have been shut out. Oh, I must hasten. It's a sweet testimony of the gospel. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Now really, it belongs to those hearts that God has touched or opened, like Lydia's. It belongs to those hearts that God has stirred them right up, but oh, he hasn't left them with that good hand to bring them right through and to guide them and direct them to the sinner's friend. Now that's where I want to come. Friends, Christ is the sum of our text. I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believed. In the sweetness of it, the Lord grant it. Friends, it's Jesus only. I speak of it in the gospel as the way God has appointed poor sinners to know him and to bring them unto his throne and to bless them all through Christ. Really, it is the glorious truth, the saints of God, each one, were given to Christ from all eternity. Stumbles poor proud creatures, doesn't it? Not so the living soul. He can trace the loving kindness of God. He can trace this, that the Lord has not left them without some hope in his sweet mercy. Where is it? It's in the glorious person, the God of hope, the dear Redeemer. The Lord brought you there. Ah, you can see in him all a helpless soul can need, but that you need the Lord to come again and again. Is it Jesus, the God of hope, friends, at times in your poor heart? Is it springing up? Maybe much down sitting. And so we ought to be in our right place. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed or put to everlasting shame or not left quite alone. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know now how sacred the truth in whom I have believed. Not a system. It's good to have all those things, but friends, the person of Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, to know that more and more. Knowing whom I have believed, and that of grace. But then there's that faith that God is the author of. As God imputes, and faith puts on, it's an active grace. Is it? The Lord grants it, and there's a going out unto the Lord. Excuse me. There's that seeking him. It's that desire for him above all things. Now we've got much amiss, haven't we? Much. I was only thinking yesterday. We need to afflict our souls and so on, and I come so far short. But then when he is lifted up, the matter is different, isn't it? Oh, you can say, well, that's what I need, him to be lifted up. So high in my poor heart. The apostle knew it. He says, I know in whom I have believed. Well, what a wonderful theme that is. To believe in God, in the sweet truth of the gospel, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and the sacred work and witness of the Most High God. That one, friends, that reigns and rules, so great, and yet he bows down his ear to hear the broken cry. He remembers those that mourn before him. I know in whom I believe, but you can look back and trace it a little in your lives. Say, well, I didn't think I'd come through this or that. I've walked in it. I didn't think when I was sure that I was sent to preach and I'd got something wrong, you know, and I put it off. And they said it could be ever so serious. And I thought, I'll leave it with the Lord. My preaching, the exercises of my heart, let God bring out of it what may be, according to his purpose and grace. So it was that I said to the nurse in the hospital, I said, God is good to me. I began to realise that it was an innocuous growth. And she said, God is good to all. Well, it does say in the scriptures about it, but it's when you can put your seal to it. I know in whom I have believed. His precious word. And it is to believe in God. Now some say, well, it will always be good. Friends, we need faith to bow deeply at his throne and to believe there, seeking his sweet mercy, and to believe in a good and wise and gracious God. Knowing whom I have believed and am persuaded, I expect this text has been spoken so many times in the pulpit here. What a sweet witness. For I know. It doesn't say, well, I think I know. And neither does he say, well, the Lord knows if I know. Friends, this is the language of Zion. It's saying things right, but only by God's grace, isn't it? For I know in whom I have believed. And there's something else in it. As if the Lord sanctifies those things deeply. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. This is the sweet work of God's Spirit, I believe. So different to the persuasions of man. Really in the sweetness of it. Friends, it's when it grows and lifts up the poor sinner until the Lord is nigh. And there is that sweet view of Jesus and his cross. And you say, why me? Why such a wretch as I? I must be careful, friends. The Lord grants us that sweet desire to leave those things very much in the Lord's hand, but to say, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded. Now, the Lord doesn't cause his people to believe, doesn't give faith without the sweet work of it. And then it is seeking him, isn't it, in the time of trouble. Seeking him in the midst of your trials and troubles, and seeking that sweet help of God to go unto Jesus, tell him all your sad complaints. I was thinking of the first epistle general of Peter, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. wherein ye greatly rejoice. What is this? It's when the Lord is with his people, though now for a season. There's a dark season, a trying time for a season. They're God's appointments, aren't they? So they are. In our souls, but you know, there's always another season. Speak ever so gently. There's a season when he binds up, when the Lord appears. There's a season when a little fruit on the branch. All those fruitful seasons. Oh, for that increase. Now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness. Heaviness. The Lord's people, blessed with faith and hope and love, have to be brought this way. Yes, it's in the language of Zion. Through manifold temptations. Those of you who know the car industry, it means a manifold. There's so many ports in it, so many things belonging to it, and so there may be many things. Through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith. Now, I want to come to another verse here. Whom, having not seen, in the first of Peter, first epistle general, chapter 1, verse 8, whom, having not seen, ye love. Not seen, ye love. Well, that's by faith. By the eye of faith. The renewing of your hearts and been not seen, ye love. I was thinking about it this afternoon. Oh, the language of Zion, that truth of the Lord's people, they know what it is. They can say the matter right, can't they? It's but a season. Wasn't the Lord's servant speaking about it yesterday? Though now you see him not. See him not. So, yet believing, that's in our text, you see. Now, it's not creature efforts nor creature belief, but friends, it's the sweet work of God's Spirit in the heart. It's that belief in the dear Redeemer, precious faith that is, to eye and view the Saviour. I love that truth of the intercessor and the advocate on high. Yet believing. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, that may seem so high. No, friends, that's the end of faith. It gives way to that unspeakable joy and full of glory. Really? We cannot but notice that faith is for the lower shore. It's leaving that shore, as the apostle was speaking of, that shore above. And now you see him not yet believing. And really the apostle is pressing toward the mark, it says about it in Philippians. It is looking upwards, isn't he, and seeking his God, speaking about his God to his son Timothy. Now ye see him not. If it be so, when it is so, yet believing. Oh, for that enlargement of faith, yet believing. Well, friends, it's the gift of God. And let me say this. The Lord doesn't give a new birth without it. Maybe a very little grain, it'll grow. No new birth without living faith, I'm sure of it. But though we may need that great increase, friends, don't forget the planting of the Lord, the word he gave, the promise. You'll have to plead it at the throne of grace. Oh, how sweetly the truth, the Lord speaks of it in this way. I just bring it to you in the spirit of the gospel. This man was near to heaven. Nevertheless, he says, I am not ashamed. Not ashamed. For I know whom I believed. Really, it's as if his heart was expanded. That's good, isn't it, to get a sweet view of Jesus. Seeing him all, not some, but all a helpless soul can need. The fullness of God in Christ, and the wondrous gift of God and the Father to smile upon those characters, complaining, though now you see him not, but yet believing. The Lord grant the application of it. Yet believing. You believe in God, believe also in me. For I am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Well, I thought about that without knowing any circumstances. But it seemed to be on my mind like this. You have to commit unto God those things that try your heart and trouble your soul, bring you low. Commit it to the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass according to his counsel, according to his will. He says, keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Well, the dear man was looking right on, wasn't he? To the time when he would leave all things. He could safely commit. And he committed Timothy unto him, his God. But the whole church of God, the church of God, let us not be ashamed to speak of the church of the living God. Characters saved by grace, gathered in, and not ashamed to own him. Follow on to know him, take up the cross, the shame despised. The Lord grant it. I have committed unto him against that day. Now that's wisdom. Commit it unto him against that day. There may be many things that the Lord brings, and you have to commit it unto him. Lord, show me now thy way. Lord, teach me that I know not. Bring me right through and do appear. Well, all those things, be careful not to forget when the Lord calls and commands. You'll smite for it if you turn from it. God grant me grace. Friends, it's a day when we need to sound the gospel trumpet. Is he worthy? The Lord grant that increase of the knowledge of Christ. So worthy he is to poor sinners. I have to speak well of him. I must leave a few remarks. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, it's as if he takes it up upon his shoulders, he takes it upon his heart. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded well, what good sacred views he has of his God. Especially I would speak of the dear person, the Emmanuel, God with us. Filled his heart. I have committed unto him the burden bearer, that one that does poor sinners good, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, sweetly appoints the longing soul unto his dear Son. I have committed unto him against that day. I must leave a few remarks. Lord, forgive anything amiss. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Chapman will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. John Rosier on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 462. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. Hymn 462.
To forgive all thy pure eyes have seen and noticed. O Lord, grant us thy mercy. Take us to thy care and keeping. For each one we commit and commend into thy gracious hands. Hear us, Lord, for the afflicted and the bereaved. And do remember us in every burden and care. Now may the grace of Christ our Saviour and the Father's boundless love with the Holy Spirit's favour rest upon us from above. Amen.